Like, I've still got wet hair. I feel like an old Labrador. And Nina says, yes, Max, that's because you look like an old Labrador.
Oh, as sweet as one.
Go on, you're not denying it, are you? Max, you look
No, I'm not.
Right, let's get going. And remember this bit, when you're saying something really interesting, I'm going to spotlight you like that.
Okay.
So Nina, okay. It won't be often.
Great. I was like, last time it was so nice to have someone else share the screen because I could like it. Oh my God. Okay. But then just put the screen back on yourself. Okay, Max.
Now I can just pick on you. Now I can just pick on you. Right. Right. Let's get going without me laughing. One, two, three. Hello. Welcome to myself, Max McGillivray from Beanstalk. We are with the amazing Nina Patel from Fresh Express in India. Nina, say hello to everyone.
Hello and namaskar from India.
We've just been laughing. And if it's okay to mention it again, Nina, I've just walked my dog in the rain, so I've got wet hair. So yet again, I'm doing another broadcast feeling like a bit like a shaggy dog. But we must be serious because this is a serious conversation. And Nina and I are always very, very serious, aren't we, Nina?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Max. We just cannot laugh. And you look like an adorable whatever.
Dog. Yeah. Yes, I know. Thank you very much. Right, come on. Let's get on with this. So just to make the formal introductions, we've had Nina on before, courtesy of the amazing team over at Global Women Fresh. And if you're not already a member of Global Women Fresh, have a look at them on Google, sign up to them. They're creating some inspirational work with the assistance of the likes of Nina on a global basis. Why we wanted to get Nina on again was she was so fantastic on the last broadcast. I wanted to spend some time with her one-on-one in our what we call our interview series of 20 on 20, Beanstalk 20 on 20, 20 minutes with inspirational people from the international food sectors. It's never going to be 20 minutes and it never will be with Nina and I, that's for sure. So let's give a bit of a background to Nina, especially for those on the podcast. Nina Patel, director of Fresh Express in India. Nina is a multi-talented and multifaceted personality. She takes keen interest in farming and lives by the belief quality of a product is shaped by its growing practices. Nina ensures certifications like Global GAP and BSCI are implemented in spirit and action on an ongoing basis, every step of the way. Fresh Express export and promote Indian fresh produce, specifically table grapes and natural sun-dried raisins grown on their own farms and partner farms with 700 plus farmers. Actually, it's more now, isn't it?
I think we must have grown to close to 1,000 now. Wow. But all small farmers, yeah.
Well, I must update my notes. So, and they've been marketing fresh produce from India across the globe successfully for the last 27 years. So Nina, as you can tell, is passionate about natural farming, where plants thrive in their natural ecosystem with the help of locally grown resources and minimal use of chemical fertilizer. Fresh Express use natural methods to retain and improve soil health, control pests, and increase yields, thus making farming sustainable for the smallest of farmers. She strongly advocates women empowerment. 95% of the workforce are ladies and proudly financially independent because of Fresh Express. So Nina's been involved in the field of certification, recruitment, training, organizational development, and performance enhancement since the last 20 years. And Fresh Express ensures certifications are not just a list of compliances, but are lived and followed in spirit and action. Nina, how spot on was I with that intro for you, please?
Absolutely perfect. Thank you so much, Max. I couldn't have done better.
No problem. And we've got to have a bit of a competition. How many times we can show off your product? So have you got any of your product with you?
Absolutely, Max. Absolutely.
I love
sharing. And this is our, and I have to tell you that these are naturally grown. So with the minimum chemicals and with the use of biologicals. So yeah. I'm really proud of that. And mostly I'm proud of these grapes. If you see, they're a little different. They're like an indigenous Indian variety. So there is a variety internationally called like granny fingers. But this is like, it is so tasty and so crisp. Max, you have to eat them to believe that. So we basically work in promoting, besides the, you know, the common international varieties like Thompson Seedless, we're also working to encourage indigenous varieties of grapes, Indian grapes for the world. So we want them to see what India has to offer.
And so the likes of your grapes, excuse my naivety, could I buy them in the UK or Europe?
Yes, fortunately, yes, you can definitely. We've been exporting to UK and Europe for the last 27 years since we started, and with some great partners. And you can find them definitely in the supermarkets. But we really wish we could, you know, we could make more of an, you know, more of an impact in the UK markets. I think we could do a lot more there, especially with our fair trade grapes and natural farming process that we use. And also because I feel that, you know, when we have so much emphasis on social certifications and sustainability, so, well, it all looks very well on paper, but then when you actually, there are very few people who are actually implementing it. So I'm really proud that it's done in spirit and action on the field. And I think that we really have something unique and genuine to offer the markets. But unfortunately, I think we still have, we can do a lot more in the UK. We're almost in like 11 to 12 countries in Europe. Yes, Max.
And Nina, that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this broadcast was to be very blatant, to show off your product, to show off you, to show off Fresh Express to UK retailers and other European retailers. I think the bit that we got to remember is how you are really pushing this agenda of women empowerment. So just let's just give you that stat again to everyone, that 90% of your workforce are ladies. And so we're in a big push. Nina, I, Global Women Fresh, another group that we run, Women in Food and Agriculture in the UK, to create this message that so much good can be done within so much good can be done within the fresh food sectors by the empowerment of women. I can't remember if you saw it or not. About 3 weeks ago, I was asked to host for ITC, International Trade Center, and She Trades, a whole section on how smaller growers can get involved with retailers, be that in Africa or the UK. And my key learnings from that were that retailers are keen to assist, but what they don't want to have the hassle of is dealing with middlemen. That right. If you are going to be a grower, you need to be aligned to someone like Nina, Fresh Express, who've got the contacts, who've got the technical protocols, who've got the global gap, who've got the processes, systems and sophistication to deal with them with the retailers. So again, it's another reason, Nina, why retailers should be engaging with you even more so, because of that infrastructure that you set up in India. We haven't even got into the bit about the fact that you are growing your product in such a regenerative ethical manner and not flooding the product with horrible chemicals, which none of us want to see. So Nina, just before you could have done anything. Knowing you well enough now and getting engaged, you could have gone into politics, you could have gone into corporate life. What brought you into the wacky world of fresh produce? Why are you in fresh produce, Nina?
Okay, thank you for that question. I love that question, Max. Well, actually, when I started off, I was very sure that, you know, my sisters did the MBAs, and I was determined I would not do an MBA. And I pursued my master's in social work. And I did my bachelor's in psychology, and I did my master's in social work. And I actually grew up in the tea plantations in Assam, where your cup that cheers comes from. But then I got married into Maharashtra, where the family had, you know, owned grape plantations. And I was pretty determined that, you know, I didn't want to do anything with the business part of it. But then when I realized that there's so many women involved in the pack houses and in the farms, and you couldn't see their name anywhere, you know, like it was always the men who were getting the money, like the man, like, you know, I'd see the women working in the farms. I'd see the women working in our pack houses, but the money was getting transferred into their husbands or their sons' bank accounts, or, you know, the grapes were coming in their husbands' names or their fathers' names. And that kind of irked me. And I said, these are the women who are doing all the hard work. And why shouldn't they stand up and get their rights and at least have the liberty to choose whether they want it, which way they want it, you know? So that's what got me into working with the family, on grapes. And this is a first generation business. And also what is interesting is that when we started off with our own family plantations, this was in a totally drought prone area where no one thought they could grow anything. It was just like rock and stones. And we started because, you know, it had the undulating plains, like my father-in-law, the credit has to go to him, thought that that would be ideal for grapes. And everyone thought he was a little crazy because he had just retired. And we said, like, okay, you know, we wanted to keep him busy. So we said, okay, you can go ahead. And that's when we realized the unique thing about that area was all the households had only women, because the men had gone off to the urban areas looking for jobs. They didn't think they could grow anything there. And that's where we decided that we would start our own plantations. The women started coming over out of curiosity, as for these crazy people who think they can grow something here. And so we started with grapes, and we were very clear from the beginning that it had to be natural farming because we wanted it to be sustainable. We wanted it, we were very aware of the fact that grapes cultivation per se needs a lot of chemicals and is an expensive process. Yeah. And we knew that, okay, even though if we have our own family plantations of 40 hectares, majority of the farmers, their lands, you know, start from half an hectare or even smaller, you know. So we wanted to work with these small farmers to make it sustainable. So that's how we started working, and that's how the women started coming and joining us in this natural farming process. And what makes me really proud is that the entire area where we have our farms now has been changed. There's been like a mini green revolution. And the best part is these women have gone on to have their own vineyards. That's what I call empowerment, Max. It's not growing alone. It is when you have, and I really believe in that, you know, instead of giving them fish, teach them how to fish. Yeah. So there was no handouts. You have to come. You have to learn it for yourself. Yeah. And they now have their own little vineyards. And besides, so they keep working with us, but they have the vineyards. They have their own kitchen gardens where they're doing practicing natural farming, and the entire area has changed. So now when you come, and if I tell you that I'll hold you to it, you have to come and see it.
Yes, yes.
I really, yeah. And so you'd say that, no, you're joking. This cannot be the same area saying that, you know, that was barren, because it's changed. And that's what I believe is, you know, when you grow together, is I think that's the most fulfilling thing.
That's fascinating. So because of Fresh Express, you've created that, I'm going to go for this big word I'm using, big phrase at the moment that I'm using, a societal change. You showed them, you gave them the tools, whether that be learning or some initial great varieties to, well, all credit to your father-in-law, even more so, all credit to you and the rest of your family for proceeding on that basis. Because you could have gone down the route of just being a big grape conglomerate and just getting these, I don't want to say peasants, because that's the wrong word, these are underpaid people in and exploit them to your own means. But you could obviously see the longer term benefit that you could create a business, but also do good by the direction that you've, what, Nina, that's amazing.
Thank you, Max. Thank you. But it's, you know, in India, it is that, you know, everyone, like, you know, when we go to Fruit Logistica and everyone's surprised, like, when I say that it's 95% women workforce, but it's pretty common in India. But what is not common is getting giving, like, you know, having it in the woman's name, then having, including the woman to come up and speak. And, you know, when I keep saying woman, Max, I want to make it really clear. It's not that it's because that, you know, any credit goes to them for being woman. The credit goes to them because they came up, they stood up to the challenges, and equal opportunities are given. In Fresh Express, we make it very clear, like when we have our pack house managers right now also, the ratio is 3:1. And that is not because 3:1 in favor of women, but that's not because they're women. It's equal opportunities for men and women, but they have come up, they've taken the challenge, and they have worked up to it. So I think that is, because when we talk about equal opportunities, if you're giving women extra opportunities, again, I see a little bit of a dilemma in that, you know, I see a little bit of contradiction. But if they're working up to it and taking credit for what, you know, what they rightly deserve, I think that is what is really important. That is what is really important.
And Nina, you made this really good, interesting point about the men going out to the urban areas. Just trying to draw a comparison with Africa. One thing I've learned with Africa and agriculture and fresh produce is the big problem of urbanization. Right. What's an example? In Ghana, there's a big issue of the younger generation who've been brought up in the villages thinking that the route to success is to go to the cities, to go to the likes of Accra, there they'll become doctors and accountants, but they don't. They become, taking a deep breath, prostitutes and taxi drivers. And so some of the fresh produce companies we're involved with, they've set up farm school competitions to excite the children as to the joy of fresh produce. And I've been involved in publicising one of the awards of this amazing business, Blue Skies. And these awards that were filmed, they filmed it live and we fed it through our streams. These 16-year-old children were coming up and they had spreadsheets on PowerPoints with all the profit and loss margin of all the cucumbers that they were growing. And,
wow.
And I just thought it was going to be a bucket and spade operation. But actually, I was learning so much from these children. And then we got into a little bit more detail. And there is a perception in Africa that if you work on the farm, I'm going to use this word I don't like, you're but a peasant. But actually, now, and especially with the way that COVID is hopefully coming to some form of final end, everyone is now awakening to the fact that one thing that's good for everyone is fresh food. So we need more fresh food. So there's more opportunity, and there's more opportunities for the younger generation to do good. Why do you want to be aligned to a bank, stamping bits of paper and making money for other people, when you can actually be on a farm, growing amazing fresh produce and working with amazing people like yourself, Nina, and doing good? So do you think I'm being over-optimistic, or do you think with people like yourself in the sector that we will see this change and there will be more fresh expresses being grown, popping up globally? What do you think?
I think you're spot on, Max. Personally, I must say that I was very inspired by Blue Skies, and I really enjoyed that, and very inspired. But it's very interesting when you talk about the next generation. I must tell you that along with the women, it was very interesting to see the men come back to the farms. Because once the women started, and what gave me the ultimate kick, Max, because the women were now in a, you know, position of authority, she was calling the cards. And the men had to, because she was more equipped, right? She had spent more time training in the farms. And the men came back from the urban areas to join her because she was being more profitable than the men were being in the urban areas, as you just said. Okay, that's the point about the men in the urban areas. But the other point is that as Fresh Express, besides women, you know, besides including and giving women their credit in farming, be it women farmers, be it women in the pack houses and women workers in the farm, we also emphasize a lot on including youth, because it's so, as in many other countries in the world, like, you know, India's economy, like 75 to 80% is dependent on agriculture, right? So if we don't interest and we don't engage with the younger generation, can you imagine? So what we do is that the ways to involve the younger generation is, you know, because no one, as you said, the traditional idea of agriculture is with a spade and a bucket. But there is so much more to agriculture than that, by like using technology, the latest forms of technology. Yep. So be it irrigation with sensors or with drone, or, you know, so we, and it's not just something that we're talking about, but we have, and you know that India is a technology hub and technology, like, you know, we kind of high pioneers of technology in the world. Sorry for saying that, but yeah, I'm proud of it. So we actually use drones in the farms. We encourage the younger generation, and we have equipped them with drones to survey the farms so that actually they can see the health of every grape plant in their farms. So we have these maps, which, you know, which every plant can be would be colored green or yellow or red, depending on the health of the plant. This is some of the ways. And then other ways are where we have, we've actually developed an in-house blockchain system so that we know where every grape bunch, I'm not talking about a box, I'm talking about where every grape bunch that the customer is enjoying, can actually, I can identify it to which farmer, which plot, and which tree. So we have it down to that point. Because people are aware, people want to know, where is my food coming from? And we totally support that, you know? And what practices have gone into that? How long has it been on the tree? When was it harvested? And we want to go step forward now, and we're working on how, who's packed it? And what's like, you know, I've been inspired by another company in the US, I think, where you have, where you actually have the packers, you know, stickers of the packers on the... on the box, on your punnet, because they have dreams which are which can be like so easily achieved with a little contribution from us. You know, it could be a little lunchroom in your school or anything. Like they work though at this, as you know, Max. This is a seasonal, right? It's just 4 months, and I have the same ladies coming back to me every year for these 4 months, and they save from as small as a little steel locker, you know, there's a big thing like a like, you know, a Godrej cupboard, like, you know, you save for a little steel locker to your to you know, dreaming about your girl, your daughter's education or her marriage. And they said that that's what we save for, because of course this is not her main source of income, because it's just these 4 months. So this is something special she works towards, right? And it gives me so much satisfaction when after the season, she can, you know, she can achieve that dream. She can, you know, she can actually work towards that. And it takes so little.
Nina, there's so much there to go at. I hosted an event for United Fresh in the States last week, and they came to the conclusion, and we've come to the conclusion in the UK, that the consumer is bored of being told that fruit and veg is good for you. We all know that. What, on a marketing perspective, what's really interesting now is the story of those growers, and the likes of, say, QR codes or a sticker on a punnet, and then someone can zap the phone on it, and it can then give the backstory of Fresh Express and Absolutely. With that particular punnet, it even maybe going down to that particular grower, and a short video of that grower. Yeah, I can just I don't think I get too emotional thinking of stating it, but I can just see families in the UK, they would be, if all fresh produce had that sort of blockchain link back, and there was a video showing the family showing how the raisins were grown and processed and exported, and likewise the grape, that's just going to create even more attraction, especially for the younger generation, both in India to get involved with the tech, as you so eloquently said, but also the younger generation here to realize there's such an amazing backstory. Because there's still this stat within the UK that 6 out of 10 children don't know where fresh produce comes from. And just to go back a little bit further, the bit that we both agreed on, that there's this upsurge of fresh produce consumption. I did a lovely broadcast with a lovely chap who's involved in agribusiness and fresh produce investment. And as he stated, in the last global recession, afterwards, there was a big investment into agriculture globally because it was seen as a safe haven for funds. And the same thing is happening now, because there will be this recessional period as we go through. And we, Beanstalk, have been approached by funds within the UK looking to invest into fresh food companies. So again, there's all these positive trigger points as to why the younger generation should get involved in fresh produce, because it's doing good. Likewise, for all of us to convince is the wrong word, to educate the consumer as to where amazing fresh produce comes from. Nina, all of our colleagues in India, and why it's so enjoyable to eat. So I think as long as we can keep this momentum going and keep the right rest of these conversations going, and we mustn't forget, Nina, it's the FAO and the United Nations year of fruit and veg, and you couldn't have timed it in a more perfect manner to be able to promote your produce. Are we both right?
Absolutely, absolutely, Max. And also what's important, it's not that, that it's just grapes which have been grown by women or woman empowered, but also what is important is the natural farming bit to it.
Yeah.
Because it's so important what we eat, we want to know what we are putting into our body. And of course that we want less chemicals. So with the use of natural farming, which is basically using biological origin plant growth regulators and pesticides, and these are actually grown in our farm itself using local resources. So, in the area, supposing we have eucalyptus and we have neem, so we would use that and not something that is, some in other state or far away, because the farmer cannot afford to have that kind of transport cost. So he would brew these. So there's something called biological brewing also, which is very interesting. And because what you do is most biologicals are very expensive. So you have a tiny bottle. If you buy it off the shop, off the store shelf, you would have a 1 liter bottle, which like in rupees would be a couple of thousands. Okay. So, but if you use that, like, you know how you make a yogurt and you need a starter. Right. So you use it like a starter and you can make 100, 200, 500 liters and with the same kind of efficacy. So that in short is biological brewing. And that is how you can encourage natural farming among smaller farmers and make farming more sustainable. And these kind of technologies, I think, Max, is so important to share. It's, we have to grow like together. And that's what we try and encourage amongst the farmers. And this leads to better tasting fruit, better shelf life, less MRLs, because I don't have to spray unnecessary chemicals. And as I told you, it's there. See?
It's look at the results.
Look at the results. Yeah. So it's all with biological farming. It's possible. And of course, this is not like it's not just happened with the snap of a finger. It has taken years of research, years of trials, where we've had a couple of years where nothing came up, but we were determined. Yeah, you would have total failures. But now I think, it's possible. It's possible to do this.
And it's fascinating with the, I'm not going to try and put you in a corner on this one. This is just a comment from myself. It's fascinating how the big ag chemical companies have operated globally on a worldwide basis. A group of mine, they went out to Canada a couple of years ago, and they were quite shocked as to the poor farming methods deployed by some arable farmers out there, that they just seem to be completely beholden to the chemical companies, that if anything moves, spray it. If there's any disease on the crop, spray it. It was just spray and pray. And who's benefiting from that? It's the chemical company and the shareholders. And now whether you agree with this or not, in the UK and Europe, there's certain chemicals being banned, and there's been a lot of resistance. But what it has done is created this drive within, again, UK and Europe, towards regenerative agriculture. And there's a lot of talk about it in the US as well, that we have to look after our soils. We can't keep polluting our soils. We've got to find other farming techniques that we used of old, biological methods. and look to create that magic dust via that route, rather than be beholden by very expensive chemicals from their chemical. And their chemical companies have also seen that they've now got their own divisions of biochemical teams and sustainability experts. And so it's a bit like the oil companies knowing that one day you and I won't have a car that has a petrol engine, so we'll have an electric engine. So we were just talking in the green room about your windmills that are popping up in India. That's again, it's another great thing to go at, this change of not only are you growing fantastic fresh produce through really natural methods, that the energy that you're hopefully going to deploy in the way of irrigation and to run the pack house is going to come through from solar or wind as well. Nina, looking at a crystal ball, because you're more intelligent than me. You know where this is all going. What's our world of fresh produce? What's the world of fresh produce in India going to look like? But 5-10 years down the line, look in your binoculars and tell me, please.
Well, what I would wish for, Lomax, then, you know, and I think, and when I wish for it, it happens, right? Yeah. So what I wish for it would be that we go towards more this blend of using technology and ancient knowledge, like, you know, things like Ayurveda in farming. This is another something which is new. You know that Ayurveda is an alternative, people know it as an alternative form of medicine. But now there is Ayurveda in farming, where you tap the biological energies in plants, and you know, you use those biological energies to make more resistant plants, so that they're stronger plants which need less chemicals and sprays. So I would look at a blend of using technology and conventional methods of farming, and where we would have the entire basket with natural and biological farming. Because right now, as you say, that yes, chemical companies are still very strong. And in fact, it is the bigger farmers who I would see are more resistant to using these innovative methods of using natural and biological farming. And it's the smaller farmers who are more, who are more open to doing these experimentation. So this will take some time, but I see that we can, like India being a fantastic exporter of fresh produce, and with the entire basket of grapes and raisins and pomegranates, melons, vegetables. And I think we're doing it in, if we keep our focus, I'm sure we can do, the entire range in a very sustainable and with less chemicals. And that is happening, Max. It's already happening. It's just that people have to be willing to take the challenge and adopt, use this blend of using technology and traditional methods in farming and fresh produce to reach our goals. Yes.
So do you think there's it's fascinating what you say about the bigger companies, because the bigger companies, they're like oil tankers, aren't they? That it's very difficult for them to change. Within the UK, and sorry if I've already told you this on the previous broadcast, there's a very big pension fund called Legal & General, and they've stated to the top 100 companies in the UK that they invest in that if they don't have diversified boards by the end of 2022, that they will withdraw funding from that company. So they're forcing those businesses, for all the right reasons, to change, to make sure they have a diversified board. Just with these larger companies, it's I just wonder whether they, force is probably too strong a word, but whether they could be persuaded that if they can adopt the methods that you have, that your outgrowers have, they could actually see the benefit that they're doing environmentally, and it might make them more money. They might be able to go to their customers globally and say, we've gone down this different route. We've got far better tasting product. We just need a little bit more money because of the costs. But you're going to see that Miss Retailer back in spades. Because the product takes, so am I being too optimistic, or do you think that will slowly change as well? What do you think?
I really hope so, Max. I think it is, the proof is in the pudding, as I would say, because once you taste it, the product kind of talks for itself. So you can taste the difference. I think that is what is very important. And they have to be a little open to taking the challenge, you know, because they have been used to working with the bigger growers because they kind of think that they are a safer bet. Yeah. But if you give people like us a chance, I'm sure you will not have any regrets because the fruit will talk for itself. And once you try it and test it, but of course the initiative has to lie with them to kind of take that step and, come up.
Nina, I just want to reiterate this because you've said this and so many other people have said this about taste and flavor. That's as I said earlier, the consumer knows that fresh produce does us good. But on a marketing perspective, as well as the amazing backstory of saying some of your growers, right. Are you convinced that if we had 10 people right. and they had a blind test of your product and traditionally grown product, do you think that the taste of your product is that much better?
210%. Without hesitation, Max. It really does because it's no science. I mean, it's just common sense because there's less chemicals in it. There's more flavor because you've kind of built on the immune system of the plants, you know. Yep. So you've not had to put that kind of external. And also there is a difference between natural farming and organic farming again, you know, because organic farming, you are putting organic pesticides and fertilizers. In natural farming, we believe that it happens naturally. The composting, the manuring has to happen naturally at the base of the plant. So there is no two ways about it. The taste will talk for itself, as I said, definitely.
I'm going to give you an example. This weekend, just gone, I went with my kids, and you're going to shoot me for saying this, but we went and had a McDonald's. And we couldn't stay in the store because of COVID restrictions in the UK. So we sat on some steps. My son, 12, my daughter, 16, and I, we had a Big Mac. And I got halfway through it, and I said to them, what do you think? And they both looked at me and said, yeah, it's all right. I said, are you enjoying it? I said, not really. It's making me feel a bit sick. And you Aww. Look at it, and it's just grey mush. It's just grey mush. So I've always wondered, what's the attraction of something like that? So I then asked them, guys, just out of curiosity, what's your favourite fresh produce? And my little boy said, grapes. And he sort of smiled.
I love him.
I said, why? He said, well, I do two things, Dad. I either bite it in half, and I just love that feeling in my teeth. Or the other bit is that I love peeling grapes, I then put in the naked grape, Dad, what a rude word, the naked grape in my mouth because it feels so yummy. And there we were sitting on the steps at the back of a rubbishy McDonald's eating this grey, don't swear, rubbish, talking about amazing grapes. It's how you persuade the younger generation and all of us to eat. You can have a treat once in a while, whether it be a McDonald's or a curry, but just to keep on enjoying the flavour of the likes of Fresh Express grapes. If we can get that flavour into the kids, they'll never go back.
Absolutely. But that's what I think is most important because, as I said, it's, you know, you can have a very good backstory and you can have all this about woman empowerment, but finally it's the fruit which has to talk. Right. And you want to keep going back to it. And I'm really happy to say that. But, you know, that Spain and Italy are so strong and they have their own grapes and they are so proud of the grapes. They wouldn't touch Indian grapes. And I'm so proud to say that we were the ones first ones to start them on importing Indian grapes because they said, what do you guys do? Yeah, you guys are doing something different. Because, you know, because of the taste, because of the shelf life and things like that. So I'm really proud of things like that, Max, because the fruit has to do the talking. I can do all the, you know, marketing and everything. Yeah. And I think there's a great story there, too, because that's not just on paper. It's happening for real. But, yes, this is it's worth it. It should be there.
the fruit does the talking. Nina Patel from Fresh Express India and all of her colleagues states the fruit does the talking. So, so just before we wrap up, I think everyone now has an understanding as to why they should engage with you and look to do business with the amazing Fresh Express business. How can we get in contact with you? How would we find you?
Oh, well, I'm there on LinkedIn. And please contact Max. He'll give you all my details. But yeah, jokes apart, you can. Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. And please send me a mail. I'd love to hear from you guys at nina@freshexpress.in.
There we go. Nina, it's been fantastic having you on. If it's okay, I'd love to regularly check in with you just to see how Fresh Express and it would be amazing to come out and film you and the team and some of the growers. I'd be fascinated to learn more about your natural farming method. So we can, it feels like you're happy for it to be promoted on a bit like the World Wide Web was made open source. Unless you say otherwise, it feels like you want to tell the world about how you're creating this difference and how you're creating this difference on women empowerment as well. So it'd be amazing at some point when we can do to come out and film you.
Absolutely. I'd so look forward to that, Max. And as I say, you know, happy, I think the most important thing is that happy people make happy grapes. So I'd like to look at Fresh Express grapes as happy grapes. So happy people make happy grapes. And when you eat happy grapes, you're happy and healthy.
Fantastic. Nina, all we're missing is the grapes. Please show us your grapes. Please show us your lovely grapes.
You have to, Max. You must.
Well, so final big push. Have a look at Nina Patel online, on LinkedIn, and dial up Fresh Express in India and make sure you start doing business with this amazing lady and this amazing business. Nina, you're a superstar.
Thank you so much, Max. So are you. You know that. Like attracts like, right?
My hair's dried now, so all's good. Excellent, Nina.
Thank you so much. You too, Max. Thank you so much.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye.